jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk about the news of the week, events that are going on, and share a little bit of airspace with a couple of friends. In this case, we have Lisa Newell, the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, is sitting in. She's kind of watching a little bit today because next time I go on a break, she's going to come in and fill in for me. So I'm super excited about that. Right, Lisa?
Well, I'm not worthy. May I just say?
No, you're going to have a blast. It's going to be good.
Yeah!
And then because, you know, always looking for good people to do that as well. And Butch Hansen, who's been on the rap many, many times, and along with his wife, Leah. As I like to say, the sweetest, most incognito, super military power couple. Well, she was commanding a wing, the first wing commander, a female wing commander in the Navy. He was commanding the Atlantic nuclear missile boat fleet back in the day. So key component of our nuclear triad. Butch, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Always a pleasure.
Let's start with Gulf Breeze, Lisa, since that's your bailiwick, if you don't mind me enhancing our vocabulary for the day. Gulf Breeze Arts Festival tomorrow and Sunday, right?
So exciting. You know, this is a beautiful weekend. We're going to have excellent weather. I mean, I love to go out there. I'm not really artistically inclined, I just must say that. But I do appreciate people who are artistically inclined, and I love to see what they've done. They're so creative. There's everything from wood turning to pastels. There's photography, sculpture. There's also an opportunity for you to eat and listen to some music. They're going to have actually Finn the dolphin is going to be there, which is so exciting because this is a sculptural dolphin that they've made out of wire, and you can put your aluminum cans in it. And they're kind of trying to get people to understand, put their trash away, and you can see the cans as they accumulate. So it's kind of exciting. Anyway, it's going to be beautiful. I really love to eat those little nuts they have there. I have to say it's one of the things I look forward to. And of course we're just excited about it. It's in the Gulf Breeze High School parking lot. It's going to be from 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 4 on Sunday, and just an iconic vision of seeing all those little white tents out there. Really beautiful, and I'm excited.
You know, my favorite thing to do at the Gulf Breeze Arts is to go into the school and look at all the kids' art.
And the hat ladies will be in there making those hats, too. The center is a women's club.
It's amazing.
Those hats. So great.
Because I do the same thing like at the fair. You know, when I go to the fair, I like to go wander around the exhibit halls and see all, you know, the flowers for competition and the models for competition, just, you know, all the stuff that, and the kids and what they produce and the photography. It's a museum.
It
on
is.
Display, and the same thing for the Gulf Breeze Arts. It's a museum on display in Gulf Breeze.
Well, you know that the art museum or the art festival actually returns so much money every year to art programs in our county, and so a lot of the things that you see inside was really directly funded by this art festival. So if you are into art at all, or you just like to get out and have a nice stroll, everything that you do, everything that you buy, every sponsorship goes toward helping art education. So it's fantastic.
Now, Butch, you are also, you have an event coming up tomorrow because, as people who listen a lot might know this, but those who don't might not, you have a long history of working with the Foundation for the Veterans Memorial Park, but you are also on the board, both you and Lee are on the board for the Chappie James Monument space that is going to go in at the Wayside Park on the, you know, northbound approach to Pensacola when that all gets finished, right?
Exactly, and we're so thrilled that the bridge is almost complete. And we can't wait to hear Candy talking about the General Chappie James Bridge on her traffic report.
Which is exactly what I'm going to do from this day forward forever.
Right.
And we've talked a little bit to the chief of police and the sheriff maybe, and if we get those guys to start calling it the Chappie or whatever y'all come up with, we think it'll be great. But we've been working quietly to develop this memorial that'll be on the landing of the Pensacola side of the bridge. And in that work, we've acquired and restored the F-4 Phantom jet that will be displayed there and got the funding for the 80-foot flagpole that'll be there. And
the Phantom is ready?
It's over at the Naval Aviation Museum.
Just waiting for a pedestal,
It's been restored, and the pedestal will be made, and it'll... The next thing to do is build that plaza, that memorial plaza. And the 10-foot statue is just about ready to go to the Foundry. And so what's important about this weekend's event is that the focal point of this Memorial Park, that 10-foot statue, larger-than-life statue of General James, and he was a larger-than-life person. His patriotism, enthusiasm, tenacity to become the first African-American to be a four-star general in our military, and a Pensacola native, nonetheless, is just amazing. But we commissioned Mr. Ed Dwight, a trailblazer in his own right. He was an Air Force test pilot. He was the first African-American astronaut candidate.
Really?
Absolutely. And I met him last night in person, and he is absolutely an amazing person, has more stories than you can imagine. Flew over 25 different fighter planes in his Air Force career. And
25 different fighter? Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Because this was the 60s.
When right, when things are changing, right.
The whole the Century series of all the F-100s through however many. But
how old is he?
He's close to 90 years
close
old.
Close to 90?
And this may be his last project. But we have a Meet the Sculptor event at the Artel Gallery Saturday evening from 6 to 8. And it's a fundraising. We've been quietly raising funds, and we, like I said, we've got all the elements of the plaza ready to go. Now we need to build the plaza, and we're working on fundraising for that. And, you know, Mr. Dwight is at the Dixon School of the Arts and Science this morning to encourage those kids in conjunction with the Chappie James Flight Academy. So it's a big event for us, And anybody that wants to help participate, we think this is a great project that will instill the spirit of General James, a native son, bigger than life person in his career. You know, unfortunately, he passed away within weeks of retiring from the military. And so we want to continue his legacy that's long overdue
in this community. I've been a big supporter of this project because I love the idea that when you're approaching Pensacola, now, you know, from the north, you're going to see the water tower. When you're approaching it from the south through Gulf Breeze, you're going to see the jet, an F-4 Phantom, decked out in Air Force colors, not in Blue Angels, because that's
exactly
what he flew. He was in Air Force,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But no, and the statue and the flag and everything. And I love that you've got the first black candidate first black astronaut became the sculptor for the first black four-star general. I mean, it's very cool. And, you know, I told you before, I probably won't be able to go tomorrow night because we had a pre-existing commitment. But you talking about it makes me realize my son will probably want to go because he is absolutely into that era of fighter jets, so he may, you know, to talk to a guy who flew all those, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
We're talking to Butch Hansen and Lisa Newell here on The Wrap. We're going to get a quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
We can help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze near the school, not showing any slowdowns where that fabulous arts festival is going to be, and the General Chappie James Bridge is flowing smoothly near where that gorgeous 10-foot monument is going to stand. We're very excited about that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Very good, Candy. But you seem like there was one other thing you wanted to say, or did I?
I was just saying, Ed Dwight's done over 130 different sculptures that are all over this country that characterize the contribution to our culture of the African-American community.
That's fantastic, man.
He's truly an amazing figure.
Well, one of the things that I had wanted, particularly Butch, I wanted to ask you about, and I'm obviously curious to get your take on this as well, Lisa, but we've had this high focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the military over the last couple of weeks. You know, some of the leaders in the military have been appearing before Congress testifying about this. One of my favorite defense military-related websites, Defense One, did a whole series of interviews with all of the civilian commanders, the Marine Commandant, for example. And they talked about all kinds of issues related to military things, but they asked each of them about this issue in particular, whether DEI initiatives in the military are harming the recruitment and retention and training, getting in the way of war fighting. Rick Scott was on the program last week, and he said, absolutely, this is a problem for us because it's hindering our war fighting ability. They say, no, this is building teamwork, and this is essential for the modern, multifaceted, diversity and inclusive military. I feel like I don't know. I've heard what people have said. I've certainly not served in the military. Your thoughts, Butch?
I don't see how it can help. That's all I can say about that. you know, you add a whole new level of training and that's required. And it seems like with every new generation, every new administration, there's another special thing you want to heap on the social experiment. They want to be the United States military. Anything that detracts from doing our mission, which is, you know, to break things and kill people when necessary, among all the other peacekeeping events, it's a wide spectrum of missions that we're ready for, that need to be ready for, and have trouble doing. Now, every one of these things to add, I just say, when I commanded a ship, when I commanded a squadron of ships, I never went to bed with my inbox empty. And this can't do anything but add additional things to everybody's plate in the military.
So distraction, essentially.
Distraction, yeah.
And if you compare, say, the military training of Chinese, you know,
right,
or the military training of the Russians, they're not hindered by this.
Sure. And so, there's lots of things that impact recruiting.
Yeah.
From closing bases, the military's not visible to as big a slice of our population as it used to be. Changes in attitudes. I mean, the press changes that. If every other thing you read about the military is negative, who wants to join that? And you add this.
One more controversy.
It's right.
Lisa, your thoughts about the DEI stuff in the military?
I'm just so happy to see that there are so many females being given positions of authority, which in the past was not really, that was just unbelievable to think of a woman pilot. And we just saw these pilots flying over the Super Bowl. And I think that, you know, maybe they were considered a diversity hire at one point, but I think they've shown that they're more than capable of the task. So I think it's great. I love to see diversity in every walk of life.
And you know, one thing, it does occur to me, even though I'm generally with you on this, Butch, I do, you know, I'm aware of, like, there was a time when obviously the presence of black Americans in the military was, that was, people called it a social experiment, right? That was something that was very difficult to accomplish, you know, long time coming. You had, you know, separate but equal and very much not equal for a long time. And then here we are celebrating, you know, Chappie James and all these folks. And I think the advocates of the DEI would say, well, we've done this with black Americans and we've done this with women. Why can't we do this also with you know, everybody?
Well, you know, my wife, and I appreciate all the comments, my wife compares her experience with that of General James. I mean, he rose through the ranks like that, got those opportunities when the military was just integrating. I mean, he was a Tuskegee Airman that was commissioned during World War II. And the military hadn't even been integrated yet at all. Mm-hmm. And then you bring, and my wife saw similar things coming in as one of the first female aviators, and the same discrimination, and they worked through. But the difference, the difference is the military is effective when it's a team. And so the more the whole boot camp experience and everything is to tear everybody down and build a team. We're all the same. We're all work together. And that's exactly what General James always preached, and the female leaders too, and that's what they and that's what we have to do, and don't concentrate on the individual but the team.
Yeah, that ongoing that sort of adamant effort to preserve individuality based on these kinds of differences doesn't seem quite compatible with the idea of we're making you all the same in the end in order to be the warfighting machine.
Exactly. And what General James' quote was, excellence has no color.
You know, I'm surprised there has never been a movie made about him, because reading what I've read about him was unbelievable.
Point.
It would be an amazing movie. And when that book, the movie came out recently, The Valor, or was it Valor?
Devotion.
Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, this looks like it's going to be about General James. And I've always thought they should have a movie about him, and it wasn't. But I still am wondering, why hasn't Hollywood picked on that? That's a great topic.
We're working on that also.
Oh, great.
Oh, listen to that.
I'm so glad, because that would be a movie I think would blow everybody out of the water. It's his life story alone is great, and then of course his accomplishments in the military, so inspiring.
Well, and we talked about this, I think, the last time you were on The Wrap, Butch, that the one of the challenges you have is that era, you know, the Vietnam era and the Korean War era are eras in the Korean War, one where it's just like it's a total gap in our storytelling that people just aren't aware. And so Devotion, this really first major movie about that era. And then the Vietnam War era was so dominated by things that were anti-military or satirical of the military. Or, you know, MASH, the Korean War, was very satirical about the military. And so, you know, as you said, how do you recruit people into this endeavor when we've done so much to downgrade and, you know, right, criticize it, and particularly telling stories from those eras where they had such a negative presentation in the media, right?
Exactly. And, you know, General James had a similar event in his career as the Devotion with his wingman in a problem like that, which we just recently learned about. But, you know, we had Dale Dye here, and Dale was the military advisor. He ran into a guy that, after he was a hero himself of the Vietnam War in Korea, and he's been part of making movies like Saving Private Ryan and Platoon, and he's got 60-some credits along those lines. And when he was here, I asked him about General James and a project like that, and he says, I used to work for General James.
Oh, wow.
And General James was the spokesperson for the Pentagon, and Dale Dye was in that office with him, and he immensely respected General James. But so maybe something will happen there. But also, Jill Hubbs at WSRE is interested in doing a documentary.
Oh, okay, great.
So. Definitely.
You know what it made me think of? I guess it dawned on me before, but it seems like any Medal of Honor winner's story is probably a movie.
Sure. You're probably right.
And yeah, we have some, you know, certainly there have been some, but, you know, I'm a bit surprised that nobody in Hollywood ever had the idea like, Medal of Honor 8. Medal of Honor 9. You know, I mean, you have built in, based on a true story, narratives that are compelling,
they're
patriotic, gripping.
No one would believe them. They're too crazy.
But wouldn't that be a great series? Like, you know, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, we're going to see Medal of Honor 48. I mean, that would be, you could make an enormous amount of money.
I've always said, you know, truth is so much stranger than fiction. It really is. You just can't make that stuff up.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can't make it up.
We're talking, it's the wrap right now. We've got Lisa Newell and Butch Hansen here in studio with me. Candy's got traffic on the 5.
And taking a look around, good news is we're not showing many slowdowns or delays. 90 in Avalon showing an accident, but no roadblock. And then Shamukla Highway and Highway 90, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock that just popped up. The roadway may be blocked, an area use caution. Then again, that's Shamukla Highway and Highway 90, and technically it's Pace. And certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text it in if you would, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Switching gears a little bit, let's talk about Tallahassee for just a second, because it's a lot of stuff going on in Tallahassee, and I know you all are very big supporters of everything that you know. let's do this first. Do you think DeSantis is going to run?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't said so officially, but now finally pushing back against Trump, I mean, it looks obvious to all the world, like he's going to run. Okay, that being said, do you feel like what he's doing and what the legislature is doing often with his approval is what the critics say, which is we're just running for president here in Florida early? Or do you think he's really just, these are the things that need to be done. I want to get as much of it done before I run for president and get out of here as I can. I'm torn on that, frankly, because I can see both sides. That we're doing this for the news value, to generate buzz and to make sure that everybody knows my name. Even if they know it wrong, they know my name. Or this is the stuff that he's been wanting to do and he wants to get it done before he's out of office. Lisa?
I think he's doing a lot of missteps, personally. I think that a lot of the things he's doing and getting a lot of attention for are going to be very detrimental to his presidential bid.
Do you have any in mind for this?
Well, I do feel like, I mean, there's so many things. It's hard, but he's running the state like it's the Puritanical era, you know, and it just becomes more ludicrous every day. It's just hard to believe that some of the things that he's telling you can't do, in the book banning, and even though some people think it's good, I have to say I'm against book banning in all forms. I think that we need to have open ideas, and he's trying to limit journalists. I'm very opposed to that. I think that's a very strange way to try to get his message across. There's just a lot of things he's doing I think are very scary.
You would, I mean, I know you say you're against book bans, and generally I am as well, but you would agree that, like, for example, grade schoolers don't need to be reading porn. I mean, there are limits, right?
Do you really think that our schools are showing porn?
I think in the library in some cases, yeah. I mean, but I mean, for example, minors shouldn't have access to some things, apart from the school issue.
I don't believe that the schools are having porn. I really don't. I mean, I feel like some of these books, if we have a kindergartner reading a book about lesbian and gay themes, I think that would be incredible that they could read that well. I don't think that's really something we need to really concentrate on. There's so many other big problems. We have kids going through active shooter drills every so many days. I just feel like that's what we need to really concentrate on.
Butch, we ran out of time. I know you're so sad. There's not enough time. There's 10 seconds. Hey, I just want to say thank you.
You're right, there's not.
Thank you to both of us for joining me today. It is an absolute honor. Thanks for spending some time. I appreciate you guys. See you.